The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. Nah, that didn't work.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is, well, 7:01 p.m. on Monday night, which means we're a minute late for the Odyssey Files, but that's okay, because we got a great show for you today. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering, who is freshly changed clothes after getting caught in the monsoon that went over the Twin Cities earlier.
An unexpected shower, like literally, it was coming down. By the time I got about a half a block from my car to the door, everything was just kind of like pasted to me wet. I was just like, yeah, whatever. So, you know, if I had a bar of soap, I'd have been in glory. It would have been beautiful, but my neighbors might not have thought so. But you know,
I was gonna say I've seen you.
Yeah. Well, not showering, you haven't.
No, but...
we got to clarify that. I mean, I like you. I don't like you that much.
No, I understand that. But seeing you fully clothed...
yeah. Well, right, yeah. Then you can envision kind of like, you know, showering with the...
Nope, not going to do it.
In the street in front of my house.
I'm kind of trying to finish my dinner here, and I probably should have done so like before the show, but
yeah,
got distracted, so it just kind of been sitting there for like an hour.
Well, I'm better now though, so I'm just saying I'm ready to go. This is going to be a great show. You know, you're taking one angle of it. I'm going to take kind of a little piece of your angle, but I'm going to go in a totally different direction. So
right,
yeah. So it should be a great show.
You heard it here first, folks. I'm actually surprised that this topic has not come up yet. I mean, we've been doing this show now for about a year and a half, and I don't know, there might have been like one show where we mentioned it, but for all the paranormal stuff that has happened for what, a century now?
Yeah.
It's like, at least it's skipped my mind until last night at work. So, yeah. And that is the Bermuda Triangle. So, I don't think there's anybody on Earth. You know, there might be like a 4-year-old over in Japan or something like that doesn't know what the Bermuda Triangle is. But also called the Devil's Triangle, which I like.
I like that too.
But even though, like, I get why they're saying, why they're calling it that, it has nothing to do with the devil. I mean,
no.
So, I guess they're just trying to make it sound cool.
Well, either that or I think maybe because it's kind of what some people might consider to be kind of an evil place that maybe, you know, and you got to remember it's in like Bermuda, Barbados, and those islands there. And to them, the word devil doesn't mean what it means to us. So it might have came from the islands, the word devil, which just is not what we could think of when we think of the devil, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. I can take that. I can take that explanation and make sense of it. So even though there's been a lot of, I don't want to say debate, but there's been a lot of disagreement on where exactly the tips of the triangle are. But see if you agree with me on this, Dave. So Miami, Bermuda, and then San Juan, Puerto Rico.
That's kind of what
they got very, very specific.
Well, it says from everything that I saw, it's always been defined as like a loosely. It's always been referred to, as a loosely defined region, and it uses kind of those focal points. But I don't think that. I really don't think there's any like hard and set fact of this is a tip, this is a tip, this is a tip. I think the whole thing is 440,000 miles. That's what it encompasses of water, which is an astronomical amount of water when you think about like that, you know, size wise for you and I mean, like 440,000 miles of water, you know, and so I don't know. I don't know if the tips, I honestly, to me, I don't know if the tips are that important.
No, not really.
I understand it kind of forms a triangular type of thing based on where things have disappeared, and that's kind of cool. But to set exact boundaries, I don't think that matters, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't want to say that it's the same, but I mean, it's right along the same lines as Tornado Alley,
right?
You know, here in the Midwest,
right?
You know, I get asked all the time, "Am I as you know the Twin Cities in Tornado Alley?" I'm like, "No, not even close.
No, not even close.
No, you know." So yeah, so I kind of went with the whole. The disappearances, you know, what kind of the most famous ones. And there's some that I had heard of in the past, but, you know, obviously over time, they just kind of mingled into like, oh, yeah, I had a vague recollection of it. So over at least the last 100 years, which I think is how far back my research went.
That's how far I went too. Yep.
Yeah, there's... been a total of 75 planes and hundreds of ships that have disappeared. I mean, not that they wrecked, disappeared, vanished.
Yep.
Some of the most famous ones, shockingly, I did three main ones. Two of them are military, which I find interesting. Obviously the USS Cyclops in 1918. So, you know, 100, pretty much 100 years ago, had a crew of 309 crewmen and was actually considered the largest loss of non-combative life in U.S. naval history.
Yep.
That vanished out of trace. They, as far as I know, they still haven't found it.
They have not, as far as I looked.
Yeah. The big one that I really, really looked into, because it absolutely fascinated me, was the disappearance of...
Are you moving on from the ship one?
Yes.
Okay, because I just want to chime in for 1 second here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so on this vessel, this is what I found extremely interesting, because that's one of the ones I chose just to kind of... It caught my eye, you know? They say that it sank somewhere between Barbados and Chesapeake Bay. They did a massive, it was a massive carrier that supplied fuel to the American fleets in World War I. And the route was actually retraced, but not a speck was found of either any of the ship stuff or any of the men. The thing that I found really interesting, though, in 1941, two of its sister ships were on the exact same path. They both disappeared.
That I did not know.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to chime in there, because I wasn't sure if you were going to bring that up later or not, but I found that to be extremely interesting. So on the exact same path of the Cyclops, two of its smaller sister ships that were refueling cargo carrier-type ships of the Navy were on the exact same route. In 1941, they both disappeared. No trace of any of the men, hundreds of men, never a trace of anything. Nobody ever went – where they went looking for them, but nothing was ever found. I don't believe that they've used that path again. I'm just saying.
Why.
So I'm just saying that I don't believe that they've used that path again. So
not to bring up tornadoes again, but it just reminds me of
Tornado
Twister.
Yeah.
Well, not Tornado, but Twister, the movie where they're like, maybe we should get off this road.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's exactly what that brought to mind. But, yeah, so moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to throw that in there because I thought that was a very interesting little tidbit that that two of its sister ships disappeared the same way. So,
yes, 100%. And again, it's military,
right?
So I don't want to say that, you know, it's a coincidence, but it just seems that there's a whole heck of a lot of military type stuff that, yes, exactly, Kat. I'm not saying it was, but it was. But the December 5th, 1945, Flight 19, which was, it was five U.S. Avenger torpedo ships, or planes, I should say, not ships.
Yep, planes.
Planes took off from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and nobody really understands. Like, they all know what happened, but nobody understands why it happened. But they basically, their flight path, and there were 18 before, which had no problems whatsoever. They were doing a three-hour exercise known as the Navigation Problem Number 1. And it was a triangular flight plan that would take them east out of Fort Lauderdale, off the Florida coast, and conduct bombing runs at this place they called the Hens and Chickens Shoals. Never heard of that before.
Got me on that one. I was just going to say, I never heard of that either.
Then they were to turn north and proceed over the Grand Bahama Island, before changing course again and flying southwest back to the base. Seems pretty routine.
Yep.
So they got by their first run without a problem. And then somehow when they were passing by, this, on their way to this Grand Bahamas, their compasses all went nuts. They had absolutely no idea where they were, and they somehow became completely disoriented, or at least the flight commander was. And it says here that they're taught that if they ever get lost, especially over this, they need to find the setting sun and then head away from it. I just lost Dave. Wow. Okay, well, I'm just going to continue what I'm saying. you might be able to hear this as I try to call him back. That's the first time that's ever happened. God damn you, Spice. Okay, so anyway. Now I lost where I was. Hey, welcome back, Dave.
Hi.
What happened on that one?
You were talking and your mouth opened up like, ha! And you went to say something and all of a sudden it froze. And I was like, Mike? Hi, Mike. Mike. And then,
no.
I don't know.
I just kept running talking. Didn't hear a word you said.
No. Yeah. I have no idea. Cause we didn't have like any power brown out or anything. I mean, none of my lights flickered or nothing. Sorry.
I love Skype.
I'm still here.
Yep. He's still here. I don't know why I sound so disappointed on that one.
I don't either. Thanks, though. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. So, trying to get back on track here, because that, like, threw me completely off. He got completely disoriented. And for whatever reason, there was a plane that was actually coming down the Florida coast and was catching their audio, or their transmissions. That's what I'm looking for. Was catching their transmissions and radioed into base and having all these and contacting them whether they needed assistance. For whatever reason, this Lieutenant Charles C. Taylor, who was in command of the squadron, felt that he could go east because he felt he was over the Florida Keys in the Gulf of Mexico, even though he was just way hundreds of miles away, not an hour previous, over the Bahamas. So they're thinking that he probably mistook the Bahamas for the Florida Keys. But his compass completely not working. And so he made all of his crew fly east instead of west.
That's a bad choice, because east, there's really not a whole lot there until you get to, like, China or Russia or whatever is actually on that longitude.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think if maybe they would hit Africa, but I don't know. I'd have to look at a map and actually
see where they were. You'd have to have a lot of gas to get to anywhere they were going east. Let's put it
yes.
that way.
Yes, you definitely would. His crew actually tried to get his attention. So this is exactly what he said. When they asked if, he said, both my compasses are out and I'm trying to get to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Sounds like he's a tourist. Can you give me directions? I'm over land, but it's broken. I'm sure I'm in the Keys, but I don't know how far down. Yeah, he wasn't anywhere close to the Keys.
No,
but
right. So that could have been obviously the Bahamas.
Yeah. So they actually heard one of the pilots on his crew say, "Damn it! If we would just fly west, we would get home." So they actually convinced them to do this, to fly west, and they were finally on the way back. But for whatever reason, he canceled that order and turned around and went back east. He says, we didn't go far enough east. We may as well just turn around and go east again, thinking that he was in the Gulf. I really don't know what he was thinking.
Well, I would have turned right. I would have turned right and gone north, because at least I know I would have hit in like the coast of Mississippi or Louisiana or the panhandle of Florida or something, and at least known where I was.
Right. So after a while, and it's not known if this is true or not, but they're thinking one of his pilots actually broke off and went west. Pretty soon the transmission started becoming increasingly faint as they wandered further out to sea. But they did hear Taylor say when he was prepping his men for a potential crash, all planes close up tight. We'll have to ditch unless landfall. When the first plane drops below 10 gallons, we'll all go down together. How poetic.
Well, that's heroic as hell.
And a few minutes later, the last radio communication, which was that, was replaced by an eerie buzz of static. So
yeah.
What makes this fascinating is not so much, well, I mean, it's fascinating just because of the five planes that just disappeared, but the plane that they sent out that night, a PBM Mariner, to rescue them, just dropped off the radar as well.
Yep, and disappeared, never found, 13 guys on board.
Yeah. Never found none of them, not the Mariner plane and not the five, not the five Avengers.
Right.
They searched, they sent out 300 boats and aircraft to look for these planes for 5 days, combing 300,000 square miles of territory, and found absolutely no sign of any of them.
Which is about 75% roughly of the size of the whole entire triangle. Which is asinine if you think about it, because there's no way if these guys ditched that there wouldn't be some type of floating debris.
Well, of course, and plus this was 1945.
Right.
Somebody's going to find something eventually.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there'd be some type of floating debris. You know, the planes might sink, but I mean, you'd still have some type of floating debris.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
So, and what I didn't know, because I have never seen it, and don't hate me because I said that, but Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, you're stealing my glory.
Oh, did you want to bring that in?
No, well, you did now. So I was going to say, because I was saving that to the end, because I was going to say I know how the whole entire thing ends. So,
well, I was just going to say that the Close Encounters of the Third Kind actually depicted the Flight 19 people as being whisked away. And this is what I don't know, deposited in the deserts of Mexico. How does that even make sense?
No. What they did, no. So, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, at the very end of the movie, when the mothership shows up, like all the other UFOs have already kind of done their thing, and the big mothership comes in, and it drops its doors, and it all of a sudden, these people start walking out. And so the guys that are on the ground walk up and walk up to them, and they're like, "Hi," and the guys start giving their names and ranks. And it turns out that Flight 19, the whole crew was on the mothership and looked exactly like they did when they disappeared as they were flying over the triangle. But there's hundreds of people come off the mothership, hundreds and hundreds of people that disappeared from various locations, but a handful of them were from the triangle.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool how that tied together to our topic today. But
well, I mean, we're gonna get into that because I mean obviously when it comes to theories of what is going on in the triangle, you can't like let it go with. Wait,
you can't dismiss that there's not UFOs involved.
Correct. Correct. Right. I mean, yeah. Obviously that's one of the theories of the triangle is that they're choosing that area or whatever to abduct people. But, you know, I know that I mentioned 1918, I mentioned 1945. I mean, all of these are, you know, 60 plus years old. But even as early as 2015, an cargo ship with 33 people on board called the El Faro also disappeared. So, I mean, it happens way back in 1918. It's still happening today.
Right.
And again, it's not like they're sinking and we find debris and, oh my God, how did they sink? It's they're gone.
Right. I mean, they've done sonar flights over the triangle, you know, with the ground penetrating radar planes that we have. They've done sonar flights looking for debris and stuff. And they have found like some like single manned aircraft, you know, like just things that might have been puddle jumping from Barbados to Bermuda or something like that, that have for inclement weather ran out of fuel or human error or whatever. But the people didn't die. They have found the downed aircraft in shallow water and stuff like that. But they have never found any significant ships or planes like what we're talking about, especially military. And I'm kind of emphasizing that because you did too. So it's kind of like there's no military stuff have been found, which is very interesting.
But so some of the reasons for this, which I think everybody has heard of, well, although there was one that I didn't.
Let's not get into theories to the second half of the show.
Oh.
Because we're getting close.
Okay, well then I'm done. All right. Because that's all I got left.
All right. Well then I'm gonna add just a couple small things. So I was curious. I was trying to find how many planes have disappeared in the last 100 years worldwide. Okay. And then I was going to take a look and see how many have disappeared in the triangle to try and get a percentage. And regretfully, I was not able to find that information out. So maybe while I'm talking, you could like type that in real quick and see if you get lucky. But I couldn't find it. Same thing with ships. But the thing that something that caught my attention was on the average, they're taking a look on the average. And I didn't see if this was like the last 100 years or if this is the last 20 years. So bear with me on that. But 4 aircraft and 20 yachts go missing every year in what's called the Bermuda Triangle. Still to this day. So that goes hand in hand with what you were talking about with that, you know, that carrier cruise ship or whatever it was that went down, the El Fara or whatever. So you got 4 aircraft and 20 yachts every year disappear in the triangle. That sounds kind of high to me, even though I don't have statistics on how many disappear like everywhere. The other thing that I found while I was looking, and we're talking about going back here now, we started, you know, 1918. So you did 100-year search, so did I. But here's something that popped up that really caught my eye. So Christopher Columbus reported that while he was sailing through the Bermuda Triangle on his way to the New World, his exact words, a great flame of fire crashed into the sea one night, and a strange light appeared in the distance in the same area a few weeks later.
Came down or went up?
Came down. Well, the light, I'm just reading it verbatim, so we'd have to speculate. But a great flame of fire crashed into the sea, so I'm assuming that it came down into the sea. So meteorite, falling star. It wouldn't have been any type of like orbitable debris, obviously, from us anyway. I mean, UFO coming down and landing, you know, like coming in so hot that it came in and he thought it was fire because it might, maybe the orange, maybe it had orange rotating lights and he thought that it was fire. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing
well,
there.
I don't know about that because I think if there's anything that they would probably be very, very sure what is probably fire at that point in time. But one of the things that, and this is the reason why I asked that, is one of the theories out there that of what is causing all of these things to go missing is large undersea fields of methane.
Yeah.
That's something that I had never heard of before. So I was wondering if one of them got set up and went out of the sea as opposed to crashing into it. But I guess I don't know exactly how those work or what they would look like.
Well, large clouds of methane would have to have some source of ignition.
Well, they said large undersea fields
of methane gas. Right. So what happens is they're bubbling to the surface and it's releasing pockets of methane gas, which would kill you if you were there. Well, you remember, and so that's interesting, okay? So to give you an example, and I'm going back and I'm just going to guess here. I'm going back about maybe 12, 15 years, maybe a little bit longer. You remember the report about the lake in Africa where all of the villages around the lake died? All the animals were dead. Everything was dead. There was this lake, this shallow water lake in Africa. The tribesmen were around it. There was cattle around it. There were wild animals around it. Somebody showed up. Everybody was dead. And they couldn't figure out what the heck happened. They were like, what is going on? Nobody's like, there's no sign of foul play. There's no sign of murder. You know, how do you get this mass death of multiple species, including human beings? So what they did is they went and they've sent in a team and they found extremely high levels and AKA deadly levels of methane gas. And what happened was that lake had a methane pocket that came to the surface and that came up as a giant bubble and just released the gas. And it was like mustard gas. It'd be like getting poisoned back in World War. Same difference. Yeah, the human body can't take that type of dosage. So, yeah, if it's in the triangle, okay, that's fine. But that doesn't that might kill you if you're on a ship and you happen to be close by or the wind carries the methane gas towards you. But it's not going to make the ship disappear. The ship would still continue to float. It's not going to just vanish. So the crew might be dead. And if they found a whole bunch of missing crew members but found a huge vessel, then I would say that could be a plausible explanation. But no, I'm not giving that any credence.
No, either am I. Just wanted to point that out as you mentioned fire. So
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. I mean, it's an interesting thing. But like anything else with methane gas, you'd have to have a source of ignition. And so unless you got people out there, like in Christopher Columbus's days, having fun shooting flaming tar arrows off into the distance for just the heck of it, and a pocket of methane gas happened to come up, I think they all would have been dead from the explosion or from the methane gas poisoning. So I'm going to say no.
Fair enough.
All right, commercial time, and then we'll get on theories.
Yeah, I like that because I wasn't even paying attention at the time. So we're right on target. Yeah, first time ever, I think.
It's been a while. Yeah.
All right. So Dave and I will be back talking about theories as to what is going on in the Bermuda Triangle, and it is even said to have been solved. So we'll put that to the test between Dave and I, and we'll see if it holds any credence. So you're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para-X. We'll be right back.
Oh. UFOs. Bigfoot. Christian.
All right, this is on the call. You think it's you listening to the words of Para X?
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear.
Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Thank you for that warm promo there, Mr. Grant Wilson. Sorry. I love Grant. In fact, we'll be seeing him here in a couple weeks. Can't wait. So, we're back. Just like before the break, you're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. Dave, you had something.
Yeah. So before we get into our theories, and I just want to throw this out there so that people don't think we're like huge conspiracy theorists, because we're not. The most heavily used shipping lanes in the world are the lanes that travel through the Bermuda Triangle. Okay.
Yes.
So we didn't say that earlier. I think that's important to point out, because I think that given that there's that much traffic, that you're going to have some incidences, whether it is like the Exxon Valdez, right? The guy misinterprets where he is, crashes into a reef, has a horrible accident. I think that there, some of what's happening there could be attributed to human error. I think some of it could be attributed to the fact that that it's the most heavily used shipping lane in the world, or that the most heavily used shipping lanes in the world go right through that, go right through the triangle. So I just want to point that out before we get into these conspiracy theories, because, man, these babies are juicy. So I just want to say that we are sane before we jump into some of these things that we're going to discuss and kind of throw back and forth.
No great conversation ever started with the disclaimer of "we're sane." I assure you.
Well, it's going to today. We're breaking new boundaries.
All right. Sounds good.
So before we touch on anything to deal with experts, okay, let's not talk about anything to deal with experts on theories. So like the methane gas came from experts. We already threw that out. But I got two other theories that are both like expert theories, and I put that in air quotes. Let's go with some of the kind of paranormal off the wall type of theories, because I think these are going to be fun to discuss.
Okay, but
go ahead.
Can we wait? Because there is one that I would like to point out as a documented scientific theory, even though it is very much debatable.
Is this the one that supposedly is the end all be all of why everything's happening in the triangle?
Yes, but I don't particularly give it a lot of credence, only because, again, things are disappearing, and two, because they happen other places in the world, and it does not uptick the amount of like disappearances in those areas as they do in the triangle. But it is a scientific phenomenon that I think is worth mentioning.
Okay. I'll be interested to see if I have it on my list of 8 theories.
Well, it's not a conspiracy theory so much.
No. Well, I have theories mixed in with my conspiracy theories.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, it's all theories.
So beyond just the generalized ones that have happened over the years of it's the paranormal, it's electromagnetic interference, bad weather, you know, that kind of thing. So there is one theory that it has to be recent. Because I don't think a lot of... I haven't heard of it before I was looking it up. But it's a phenomenon called hexagonal clouds. You do have it? And what makes these clouds odd is the fact that they have edges. They have very defined edges as opposed to normal clouds where it's kind of like a random distribution. But in these hexagonal clouds, they can span anywhere from 20 miles to 55 miles across, and they're like air bombs is what they call them. They go about 170 miles per hour, just these huge bombs of wind, that once they hit the ocean, they can actually create waves 45 feet tall. So I understand where they're coming from this and how it would be able to knock down airplanes, which I'm assuming probably could not take 170 mile an hour gust. Why ships would suddenly no longer be sailing when they hit a 45-foot wave. But again, none of these, and this is why I don't give it a lot of credence, beyond the fact that these hexagonal clouds happen in other places in the world, this would just again demolish the ship. Right. You would get debris. You would probably find, but I mean, the things that we're talking about are vanishing.
Right.
So I don't know if that's what you want, because you nodded your head when I brought it. So I know that's on your list.
It is on my list. I got the exact same stats and you know, numbers and stuff that you do. You know, here's what I'm going to say about that. That is just science, which is in this little tiny can that never thinks outside the box. That is the world of science. That is science trying to put an explanation on phenomena that they don't understand that's been happening for over 100 years. You know, they're trying to put it in this nice little neat box and put a little nice wrapping paper on it and a little bow and say, okay, look, we have a reason as to why all this stuff is happening. That's BS. That isn't happening. Is it a cause for some of these things that are going on? Absolutely, it could be. If you were in a little two-seater Piper jet and you were flying from, Barbados to the Bermudas like we were talking about, and all of a sudden you got hit by 170 mile an hour wind shear, it probably would rip your plane in half or rip a wing off or do something or knock your instrumentation out to the point where you probably, I think it's highly likely you could crash into the ocean and perish. But your plane would be found, and they have found some of those planes damaged, like I was talking about earlier. So I don't see how 170 mile an hour wind would make your plane just disappear. I don't see how a 45 foot wave, although it's big, I'll give you that, but the ship was 542 feet long. So in comparison, let's see, if you and I were in a 16 foot boat, just having fun water skiing or tubing for a day, and a 45 foot wave jumped out of nowhere because of a hexagonal cloud, we would probably crap ourselves and we'd be in trouble. And we'd hit that wave, and I'm sure we would capsize, and who knows what would happen to us. If you and I were on a 542-foot-long ship made out of solid steel that was built to traverse the oceans of the world, and we hit a 45-foot wave, we probably would be like, yeah, that's a big one. Everybody probably better get off deck. I actually see a wave that big taking down a 542-foot long ship.
I actually spent some, I think like 2 weeks ago, spent some time in Duluth, Minnesota. In the harbor there of Lake Superior, they have, I actually got to watch a 1,000-foot ore ship leave the harbor, go underneath the bridge and out into Lake Superior. And I actually asked that question because I wasn't so much curious about the 45-foot wave as if they hit, because I was thinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Yep.
And I asked them, I'm like, if they hit bad weather, I'm like, they really don't feel it, do they? I mean, with a ship that large. And I was asking Pat, who I was up there to see, and he's an engineer, retired from 3M, and loves these ships, studies them, knows a ton of stuff about them. And I asked him if that was the case, and he pretty much told me that, bad weather, they're not really going to feel it, but if they hit like a 30-foot wave, it can actually make them capsize.
Huh.
But again, it's just capsize, right? Not vanish.
Right.
That question actually I did not ask him. What would the weather have to be like in order for just make the ship disappear?
Well, it would probably have to be some sort of abnormal cloud. Yeah. Like a UFO landing base or something underwater, which is one of the theories.
Is it?
Yes.
Because I know when we did the UFO, try show.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I came across when doing studies, was that extraterrestrials have a bunch of bases like underground and underwater that they're using for, to collude with our military and yada yada for whatever they're trying to do.
Right.
So that's interesting that came up with the Bermuda Triangle as well.
Well, let's hold off on that because I'm going to tie the UFOs into something interesting that is real.
Okay.
Okay, that's really happening. So let's burn through just a couple of the more nonsensical ones, but that I thought were interesting. Okay. So one of the theories out there is that there is a giant crystal pyramid that is underwater. I know you'd like that one.
Oh, God.
And that it is sending like a beacon out, which happens to be a reverse of the base of the pyramid, which causes the triangular formation, which anything that flies into it during its sending out its signal basically just disappears, gets sent into another dimension.
What caused this crystal pyramid to be there?
Well, they haven't determined that yet. They're too afraid to go look for it.
How do they even come up with this theory that it's there?
I'm just running with what I read.
Okay. All right.
So I'm just missing that one, but I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Please do.
So here's another one that's actually very interesting, and I don't have the author's name because I forgot to write it down. But he, well-renowned researcher and author, said that it is the souls of African slaves that have created a vortex, because these slaves, when they were in transport from Africa, came right through those lanes. And when they were either mistreated or they were trying to set an example or they did something wrong or whatever in transport, they got sick, whatever. There was hundreds of reasons. I wasn't going to list them all. But they would throw the slaves alive overboard chained. And so they would drown. Obviously, they would sink to the bottom and drown. So his theory was that it's the souls of African slaves that were basically murdered on their way to the United States. One of the things that backs up his claim kind of, is that on numerous occasions, as people have been out, they have heard kind of an uneasy, unnatural type of wailing, like somebody who's in pain or somebody who's desperately trying to plead for their life and begging. And it's been heard numerous times by multiple different people, not just this guy, but people he interviewed who happened to be out in the location of the triangle doing whatever they were doing, fishing, just, you know, sightseeing or whatever the case might be, that they've heard like these haunting type of screams and moans and yells. Being as what we do, we have been to locations where a lot of people have perished. I don't give much credence to the fact that even if this is true, and I'm sure it probably happened, that African slaves were tossed overboard for whatever reason they were tossed overboard, and they basically sunk to the bottom, chained and drowned. I doubt that it's creating what's happening in the pyramid of ships and planes disappearing. But I thought I would throw that out there because I thought it was fairly interesting, especially since the guy's a renowned author and researcher, and because there's been numerous people that have backed up what he has said he has heard. There's been numerous other things, other people that have backed up the same thing.
Now, I can see where they're hearing it. I think that's probably more like a completely separate residual type.
I would think
thing.
So too. Yeah.
I'm with you, and I really do not see the tormented souls of black slaves making planes and ships disappear.
No, me either. But I thought it was interesting because it was a little off the wall while I was looking at different theories. And this guy is like pretty firm on his belief that that's what's causing it. So I thought, well, all right, if you're that rooted into the fact that you think that that's what's going on, I'll mention it. I'll give you a little bit of credence, even though I'm not going to mention his name because I forgot to write it down. So my fault. I'm going to loop these two together just so we don't run out of time. So Soviet Cold War project gone wrong kind of has some credence to it, especially if you take a look at the fact that it's ships and planes and military that are disappearing. Hand in hand with that kind of is a Nazi experiment that was planted at the bottom of the ocean to take out occupied forces trying to get overseas to help during the war process. Again, has a little bit of credence to it, just in the fact that it's taking out military planes, military ships that are traveling in this space. Do I think that that's what's causing it? Realistically, no. Do I think that it's a great conspiracy theory and you could run with that and have a great discussion? Absolutely. Yeah, I think that there's a great discussion to be had there.
If it's... But again, there's no way that would... There's no way, especially with the technology of that day, you know, of the World War II and the Cold War and whatnot...
Well, the Germans were way ahead of us, remember. A lot of their technology that we discovered, we took. And a lot of the things that we built came from their technology.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Let me finish. I can't see how they would have invented something that would, again, make ships and planes disappear.
Correct.
Now, destroy them, yes.
Cause them to malfunction. Like the compasses going awry in the planes. Absolutely.
Yes.
I could stand behind that and say that there might be something planted there that is causing mass electrical discharges that is causing these compasses and navigation instrumentation to basically fry and or to quit working altogether.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That I definitely could see. But again, that would cause them to crash and sink and get demolished and destroy, blow up, whatever.
Right.
Not to just vanish.
Right.
Even today, I do not see us having that type of technology.
No. No.
Okay.
I don't either.
All right.
But it's interesting. Like I said, I mean, you could have a good discussion of that. You know, that something was planted there. especially because of where it lies within the shipping lanes too. So I like this one just because I like the whole story behind this. So the lost city of Atlantis, never been found.
Correct.
They say that it lies within the triangle and that the mysterious crystals that the city used to power itself are still there resting on the seabed, transmitting huge waves of energy that destroy the vessels above, was the quote that I took. Now, again, destroy the vessels above, meaning that you would have debris, you would have leftover remains of something. I like, a part of me thinks that the lost world of Atlantis is, there is some truth to that. If you dig into the lost world of Atlantis, I think there is some truth to that. You know, is it causing this? Is it exactly as they paint the picture of it? Absolutely not. It's not that glorious, I don't think. But if you take a look at like what they say about Atlantis and how it was self-powered, it would almost be like harnessing like nuclear technology in the size of a geode, and then being
cold fusion.
Cold fusion, and being able to power your whole entire existence on these small, you know, power pods that were completely safe and didn't have any type of like harmful ramifications, and you could thrive as a society, obviously, and you'd be able to do amazing things if you didn't have to rely on coal or oil or, you know, solar or wind power or whatever the case might be. So again, it doesn't explain the disappearance, but it definitely is worthy of a conversation just in the fact that if that power and that energy is there, and if it happened to emit a discharge, I think that discharge would be plenty strong enough to screw up instrumentation on a plane or a ship, cause you to lose your bearing, something along those lines. But again, you're not going to lose a vessel or a plane. It won't just disappear. Agreed?
Gotcha.
Okay. So let's move into the last point here. The U.S. Navy's Atlantic Underseas Test and Evaluation Center, abbreviated as AUTEC, is located at the bottom of the triangle. This is real. It's used as a home for testing subs, weapons, sonar, secret underground projects, and, they claim, as in Area 51, reversed engineered alien tech. And some people are saying that it's behind the disappearances. So I'm going to tie that into the UFO conspiracy. That is the only legitimate source that I see of all the research that I've done. And not that I'm an expert on the situation at all, not in any way, shape, or form. But of everything that I've looked at, if there is a legitimate reason, and we're putting that in air quotes, that there is a legitimate reason why all of these disappearances have not been found and no debris has been found and all these vessels have never been found, nor any of the planes, that the only thing that I could put my finger on that would cause it would be something powerful enough to transport these craft into another type of dimension, another realm.
I was wondering if that was going to come up, because I mean, whereas sure. I can completely see our military having some sort of base underwater to do whatever testing they want to do, and maybe, you know, some ship has. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe those ships are designed. They're planned on disappearing.
Maybe. You know,
because into this facility, because they have supplies and stuff that they have hidden in regular, you know how I would not put it past our military to send out a ship with an A-list. And this is what to the public is on the ship, but it's really hauling B-list, which is what they need. And then, lo and behold, you know,
it disappears.
It disappears.
Right.
But we haven't had that base there for 100 years. So it would not, in any way, shape, or form, explain the Flight 19, the USS Cyclops. It would explain the Alfaro. But going back 100 years, it would not explain those. So going back to the other dimension, this is why we're not sane. It would almost be some sort of rip in the fabric of that area of our planet that somehow sends them into an alternate reality.
Right. If you take everything verbatim that we talked about and everything verbatim that you can find yourself online, if these vessels are actually disappearing and the people aboard are disappearing, there's only one explanation. They are traveling to some other time. You don't just disappear.
Do you think it's some other time or some other place,
some other dimension, some other world, some other plane, however you want to phrase it. I mean, you know what I mean? You're going on to some parallel type of universe or some distant universe or some, you're going somewhere because you don't just disappear.
That is typically the thought process is you just don't disappear.
Correct. And if it was like one or two things that happened, I'd say, whatever. You know, it was a bad storm. Who knows? The sharks ate. The plane crashed into a bunch of pieces. Sharks like shiny things. The sharks ate the whole plane. And they ate all the people and the boat cushions and everything else. You know, that's illogical as that sounds. That's a plausible answer, I guess. But for all of the disappearances, for everything, I mean, we only touched on three. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. That are documented. 75
planes and hundreds of ships.
Right. That are documented. Hardcore documentation. That are gone. Disappeared. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot. 175 ships over 100 years. It kind of sounds like a lot to me. You know, I mean, if over the last 100 years, 100 houses vanished from their street they were on. Okay? They just up and vanished. Like one day you were talking to your neighbor, you went to bed. The next day you woke up, the lot was just empty. The house is gone. There's nothing left. Nobody ever heard from the people again. Nobody ever saw the dog again. Whatever. The newspapers are piling up on what used to be the doorstep, right? Would that be any different than losing vessels out in the Bermuda Triangle? I don't know. It's kind of a comparison, right? So if you lost 175 houses over 100 years, I think people would be up in uproar. They'd be like, what the hell's going on? I just woke up and I went to go see my neighbor and all of a sudden the house is completely gone. That would totally freak you out. I think that because it's over a body of water, sometimes people just accept the fact too easily that it happened because of natural occurrences and don't give it a lot of thought. And I can't get behind that. Not with the disappearance. With crashes, I could get behind it. With disappearances, I can't.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Great ending. Wrap that all up in a bow.
Try to. It's a big, big topic.
It is a big topic, and we didn't hit nearly enough of it. But we are out of time. Again, thank you for listening. Obviously, The Shadows is coming up next with The Powers to Be, Miss Rebecca. So,
have a great week. It was a pleasure to get to talk to you all again, and I hope we sparked a couple of brain cells.
Perfect. Everybody, have a good night. We'll see you. We'll see you in 2 weeks, actually.
2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. We're off next week.
We will be off next week. So, everybody, have a good one.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.